Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Well, before we get to Jennifer Ait Lee and her book on Chinese food in America, and yes, I will ask her about having a number for a middle name, let's look briefly at what your kitchen says about your politics. Did you see the elephant and the donkey dining table on the top of the New York Times dining in section today? The donkey, the Democrat, is, of course, eating sushi and drinking white wine. The Republican elephant, of course, has beer and sausage. And there is, of course, a little political consulting industry that's referred to as micro-targeting that parses the food habits of people likely to vote Clinton or Obama in the Democratic primary or Democrat or Republican in a general election. The article says, for example, that political strategists slice and dice the electorate into small segments, starting with traditional demographics like age and income, then mixing consumer information like whether you prefer casinos or cruises, hunting or cooking, a Prius or a pickup. This is really nothing new. And, you know, Michael Bloomberg is really the master of it, along with Karl Rove. But it says once they find smaller groups of like-minded people, campaigns can efficiently send customized phone, email, or direct mail messages to potential supporters, avoiding inefficient one-size-fits-all mailings. Pockets of support that might have gone unnoticed can be ferreted out. And this is where it gets interesting. So, for example, it says Dr. Pepper is Republican soda. Do you know that? Pepsi-Cola and Sprite are Democratic. So are most clear liquors like gin and vodka, along with white wine and Evian water. Republicans skew toward brown liquors like bourbon or scotch, red wine, and Fiji water. When it comes to fried chicken, according to the person they're quoting here, Democrats prefer Popeyes and Republicans, I don't even know how to say the name of this company, is it Chick-fil-A? But whatever it is, isn't it amazing that it comes down to brands of, you know, fast food, fried chicken? Anything organic or more Whole Foods-y skews more Democratic, says this man named Dowd, who they're quoting here. Obviously, in last summer's polling, the latest available, Mrs. Clinton scored high among voters who also had favorable views of McDonald's, Walmart, and Starbucks. She was once on the board of Walmart. Did you know that? That led his team to conclude that Clinton supporters put a high value on national brands. And it goes on from there all the way to Ben and Jerry's. Ben and Jerry have endorsed Obama for president and have introduced a flavor called Yes Pecan. Or maybe they're just developing it. I'm not sure. But with me now is Amy Gershoff, Director of Analytics at a company called MSHC Partners. Amy, welcome to WNYC today. Hello.
Hello. Thank you for having me.
You do this kind of micro-targeting?
I do indeed.
You know, not everybody believes in it. James Carville is quoted in this article saying it doesn't really work. And Obama's people are quoted in it saying, well, we don't do micro-targeting. We think that's old politics. We prefer macro-targeting.
Well, I think that the fact that James Carville makes a good point, which is that any one of these pieces of information on their own, the type of fried chicken that you eat or the type of water that you drink, that each of those pieces of information on their own is actually not very predictive. But when you start to aggregate each different decision that you've made as a consumer, all of a sudden you do have a picture of what that person's political values start to look like. And so while it's true that any one of these pieces of information on their own might not be that useful, taken all together, we start to get a picture of what the consumer's really like, and that tells us something about their political values.
And just to give credit where credit is due, that Mr. Dowd, who I was citing some of those examples from, is actually Matthew Dowd, the former chief strategist for President Bush, who's now a political commentator for ABC. Now, some of the examples here, they're sliced so finely that I wonder, with your experience, if you could tell me why, for example, Dr. Pepper would be a Republican soda and Pepsi and Sprite more Democratic.
Well, again, each of these pieces of information on their own don't tell us that much about the consumer. I'm sure there are plenty of Republicans and plenty of Democrats that drink all of the different kinds of soda that are out there. What really starts to make a difference in terms of learning about a voter's political values is when we start to take all of these pieces of information together, not just what soft drinks they're drinking, mm-hmm. but what kind of car they're driving,
right.
what their income and education levels are.
In terms of how you can use it. But it's interesting that things even break down this way. I mean, it's a piece of trivia, really, but if Democrats more tend to drink clear liquors like gin and vodka, and Republicans more tend to drink brown liquors like bourbon or scotch, where does that come from?
Well, I think, again, each action that we take as a consumer is indicative of the type of values that we hold. And those values help us help guide not only our consumer decisions, but our political decisions as well. And so the fact that different kinds of voters might drink different kinds of soft drinks, drive different types of cars, live in different types of neighborhoods, all tell us something about their values as a consumer and also as a voter.
So then do you actually send different messages to different groups of voters once you micro-target them?
We often do. We'll segment voters into different kinds of groups based on not only all of their consumer behavior, but their previous voting behavior, their demographic information, and aggregating all of that information together, we try to match the most appropriate message mm-hmm. With each individual voter.
And is that a little bit, I don't want to say sleazy, but is it a little bit, well, you know, politicians get in trouble if they are found saying one thing to one audience and something different to another audience as being somehow inconsistent or somehow pandering. So if you say one thing to a micro-targeted audience and something else to another micro-targeted audience, even if they don't directly contradict each other, is there something less than genuine there?
I don't believe so, because this is the same type of technique that's being used in the commercial world, and what it's doing is just ensuring that people, each individual voter, is receiving the message that is most relevant to them. So it's not that we're saying entirely different things to different voters; it's that we're matching each voter with the message they're most likely to be interested in.
Give me an example, can you?
So, for instance, a voter who is much more interested in issues related to government programs, we might send them information about some of the different healthcare programs that our candidates have supported, whereas another voter might be much more interested in issues related to abortion or domestic partnership, and so then we'll send them information about steps that our candidates have taken to support rights in those areas. And so what we're doing is not saying conflicting things to different voters. We're simply highlighting different aspects of our candidate with the different voters who might be most interested in that aspect of the candidate's record.
All right. Now, Diane in Long Island City is going to tell me how to pronounce that chicken chain. Hi, Diane.
Hi. It's Chick-fil-A.
Oh, filet. So the A, that letter A is just pronounced like the letter A.
Yeah. I guess it's some sort of, I'm not sure what it is, but anyway. Yeah.
F-I-L-A, pronounced filet. Okay, so you also had a theory as to why more Republicans might eat at Chick-fil-A while Democrats eat at Popeyes?
This is just a theory, but it is true that Chick-fil-A's are only open on, or no, I take that back. They're closed on Sundays throughout the chain. And I'm not sure what that means necessarily, but coming from the Midwest, it's something you know.
Right. Well, if you adhere to closing on Sunday, then, you know, maybe it reflects a certain values thing, religious values that some Republicans are aware of, if they tend to share those values. Who knows? You don't know, do you, Amy, in that particular case?
In that particular case, I'm not sure what the different values are of the company or why they choose to be closed on Sundays. I have seen the signs in Chick-fil-A's on Sundays in the Midwest and in the South that say that they are closed. So,
oh, they are Seventh-day Adventists, somebody just told me, so for what that's worth. Lisa in Westchester, you're on WNYC. Hi, Lisa.
Hi there, and thanks for taking my call.
You bet.
I just wanted to let you know that some of the items that you're citing are regional products and preferences. For example, Dr. Pepper is made in Waco, Texas. So people from the South, where Dr. Pepper was originally distributed, have certain political preferences. Therefore, they tend to, and they also drink what is made in their area. Popeyes grew up in, I think it's Louisiana, and in more of an urban store. So generally, the locations of the stores create the customers, who, and those people have certain political preferences. And then it also skews for, I mean, I think my main point is this. Many of the products you cited are regional products rather than nationally distributed, as well as like Coke and Pepsi. And politics are regional. And so I think that there's a matchup there that maybe is being overlooked. And that's my simple point.
Okay. Thank you very much. Amy, real quick on that.
I think that the caller's absolutely right. The types of places that we live in say a lot about us and our values, and the types of products that are manufactured in different regions are absolutely indicative of what the company thinks the marketplace is going to be most interested in purchasing. And so the fact that some of these products are regional products, I think, is indicative of the fact that voters in some of these particular areas are different than voters in other areas. So I think the caller makes a very good point.
Someone on our comments page writes, as a brown liquor-drinking Democrat, I take umbrage, which leads us to Jack in Brooklyn. You're on WNYC. Hi, Jack.
Hi, Brian. Thanks for taking my call.
You bet.
As a brown liquor-drinking Democrat, I agree with that last comment.
Huh.
Anyway, I know that the caller said, or that the Amy, I believe her name is, says that all of these individual things don't really mean anything by themselves, but as a whole they mean something. And she keeps saying that, but not saying what they mean. So what exactly does the fact that I'm a Democrat who drinks vodka mean?
Well, so all of the different things that you buy and actions that you take are indicative of your political values, the role that you believe government should play in your life and the lives of your fellow citizens, the services that you believe should or should not be provided, the regulations that you believe should or should not be enforced, our views on the war, the environment, abortion, health care, taxes, national security. All of these are just expressions of our political values in the same way that, or in a very similar way to the fact that the type of soda that you drink or the type of restaurants that you go to or the type of car you drive are also expressions of your values, your deeply held beliefs about what should be provided by the government for the common good and what should not be provided by the government for the common good.
Jack, thank you. Before you go, is there anything new in this field that's particular to this year's campaign? Because it's not a new concept at this point, but now with Clinton and Obama and then one of them against McCain, is there anything new that's emerging in this field of research?
I think what's new about micro-targeting this year is that it's not something that only the presidential campaigns are using. We're seeing a proliferation of micro-targeting in 2006. We saw a proliferation of it into congressional races. This year, it will be used by both sides, I'm sure, in a wide variety of Senate, gubernatorial, congressional, and other races around the country. So I think it's becoming much more widespread this year in a way that we really haven't seen in previous years.
And that was Amy Gershoff, Director of Analytics at MSHC Partners, a political communications firm. Thanks for coming on with us.
Thank you very much.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC. Coming up next, what's more American than apple pie? Well, think about it. How often do you eat apple pie, and how often do you eat Chinese food? We'll talk to Jennifer 8 Lee in a minute.